Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What if the golf ball you're playing isn't the number one ball for you? Meet the all-new TP5 and TP5X from TaylorMade. Whether you prefer the softest five-layer tour ball in the TP5 or the fastest, that's now a half a club longer in TP5X, you'll be playing a golf ball that performs like it was built just for you. Available in white, yellow, and picks, you can personalize it with my symbol. No matter which you choose, every TP5, TP5X is designed to help your game. Head to TaylorMadeGolf.com today to find the number one ball for you.
It's a Tuesday edition here on Zero Block 30, and today we have five rounds in the magazine. Round number one. If there's anything that gets a 50-something-year-old peacetime veteran riled the fuck up, it's military women and fitness standards. So stretch out your keyboard warrior fingers, fellas. It's back in the spotlight. Round number two. What better way to get you pumped for tax season than to tell you how the U.S. wasted billions with a B on cars and buildings in Afghanistan that have all since been abandoned or destroyed. Plus, we share our own greatest money pits. Round number three, we had a chance to chat with Representative Adam Kinzinger, who is making waves right now in the Republican Party. But spoiler alert, not in a bad way. He's on like every news channel you turn around.
Yeah, right. He's all over the place.
He's on his glow up with Twitter followers too. Mm-hmm. I think he was at 100,000. Now he's at like 500,000.
Yeah, but you know what? He did something yesterday or the day before. I was nearly ready to call him and tell him to kick rocks. He's like, hey, but also, you know, I'm starting to maybe think about using my own personal Twitter a little bit more. So follow me on there too. I'm like, there's no shot. I'm following two of your accounts. Get out of here.
Oh, I follow two just because I'm a good person. Round number four. Biden has taken his first military action, and as we suspected, it was not accidentally lost on Andrews Air Force Base looking for Air Force One. There's a lot more airstrikes in Syria vibe to it. And finally, round number five, younger troops are rejecting the COVID vaccine, which leads us to ask, wait, what the heck?
What the heck?
What?
Wait, what the heck?
You're allowed to say, you can say no.
You can reject that stuff? What the heck?
I wish I would have said before, anthrax shot.
What the heck? The peanut
Small
butter shot.
Vaccine.
What? Huh?
You get to make your own choices?
What?
Q-tip in my butthole.
Yeah, Q-tip in my butthole. What?
Wait, that doesn't sound right. Huh?
What?
What?
And all of that is brought to you by our good friends at 3Chi, who is the industry leader in Delta 8 THC products. All products are formulated by a biochemist. I bet that biochemist had to go to school.
Probably.
Right?
Like,
yeah.
My guess is yes.
Odds are good. Odds are
People,
good.
My older daughter is taking chemistry, AP chemistry. She's in 10th grade. She's gone higher in science than I ever did. I was going to major in something besides communication at UTSA, and they're like, well, basically all the other majors, you have to take at least 3 math classes and 3 advanced science. I was like, okay, I don't want that. What's like the dummy degree? Like communications. I'm like, check. That's
oh,
what
yeah.
But now when people are like, do you use your degree? I'm like, kinda.
Yeah.
We do communicate.
Kinda.
We do be communicating, I have to say. I always considered communications being like how gym teachers are to the teacher world. We're communications like the gym teachers of the business world. We don't do math. We don't do reading. We don't do that stuff. We're just having a good time over here.
But shout out to Miss White. The only classes that I think still that are in my brain to this day is my 2 editing classes that I took with this. And when you picture the word curmudgeon, she was a curmudgeon. She was like this little old lady that was like 72, 73, been teaching at UTSA since like 1975. And she was almost had like a Marine mentality. Like once the clock hit 8, because her classes started, my class for her started at 8 a.m. Once it hit 8, she shut the door and deadbolted it.
She's like, I love it.
She's like, nobody's, if you're late, you're not coming in. I'm not going to be interrupted. So you'd have people trying to open it. She'd be like, go away. Come back again on Wednesday.
That's like Mr. Hand in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. That's what that
was. It was awesome, man. But she honestly taught me a shit ton. It's the only reason why I know how to properly use a semicolon. But I also know how to use 3Chi because it gives you an amazing bud with a great feeling, with a clearer head and less anxiety. It's available at 3Chi.com. That's the number 3Chi.com and at retailers around the country. free. You must be 21 to purchase. And remember, it's not CBD. It's psychoactive. It will give you a buzz, so use it responsibly. Again, go to 3chi.com, the number 3chi.com, to shop for Delta 8 vapes, gummies, tinctures, there we go, and oils that can be used to make homemade edibles. Use code ZBT2021 to receive 5% off your order. 3chi.com and in the promo code ZBT2021. Let's get started with the show. I still can't believe it's 2021.
Me neither.
It's a bizarre thing. We're almost a year. We're a full year, really, into quarantine season. I saw somebody tweet out next year in February. On February 22nd at 2:22, it's going to be 2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2.
Whoa. There's some lawyer out there who's like, wait a minute, that's my number. Some ambulance chasing lawyer.
4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4. Yeah. That's one of the ambulance chasers here in Texas. He always does that. I had a huge weekend because I'm getting ready to move. I had a couple of one I wanted to tell you guys. I had my biggest dad Marine combo moment probably that I've had in years.
Ooh, go on.
Let me get comfortable.
And it was actually, I forgot to tell you about it. It was actually during snow season. So Kelsey had a friend and she wanted me to take her over to her house. And it was, I was like, no, it's getting a little bit too dangerous on the roads. These people here don't know how to drive in these kind of conditions. Well, she was supposed to spend the night at one of her friend's house. Well, it turns out the mom didn't say that she could spend the night, and I had to go pick her up in, like, super shitty conditions. And my wife was like, well, let's just call and talk to her and see if she can. I was like, no, she lied. She had said she already talked to the parents. The parents said it was okay. I was like, she's not going to be rewarded by spending the night over there when she wasn't supposed to. And my wife was like, well, your truck doesn't really have, like, the tires on it for snow. Like, people out here don't know how to drive. And I was like, I don't give a fuck. I will walk my ass over there the 3 miles and walk her ass back before I give her the satisfaction. There will be no happiness on my watch whatsoever. And I was like dead ass serious. I was like, I'll fucking walk before I go. If my tires start spinning because it's so icy, I'll walk over there. I don't care. I'm going to get her. And she was like, I haven't seen you like this in a long time. I was like super fired up about it. It was intense. And she felt so bad about it because she could see, you know, that vibe where it used to happen to me at church when if you're acting up and you're sitting with your friends at church and your mom glances over and they give you the what the fuck are you doing look.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yes.
Not Kate, great. Have you been practicing yours?
Not yet, but I will say, teenage, because you're saying you haven't been this fired up since the military, I would say I'm more frightened of teenagers than the Taliban at this point. That's I would be more, I'm like already thinking ahead to that era, even though it's way far off. I'm like, oh my God, he's going to be a teen.
Much more diabolical.
Yeah, so I'll have to call you up and take notes. I'm like, what can I do? He said his friends. He said he could spend the night. Give me some notes.
And he's going
to
be a New York teen. That's even more scary.
You're telling me.
Because you were a Delco teen and Pat was a Virginia teen. You guys are going to be dealing with a New York teen.
Which means he'll be 35 by the time he's 15.
Hold on, time out. Unless you're planning to move back to Manhattan, there's a very distinct difference between growing up in Manhattan and growing up in the suburbs of Jersey.
Sleazy Jersey teen's equally as creepy. He's not going to be a little cons pastel teen. He's not going to be a Vineyard Vines boy.
I hope he turns into like Big Time Tommy. I hope that he does sound just like a Big Time Tommy.
Yeah.
That could be great. Yeah.
The odds are good.
Hey, Mom, it's Big Time Tommy.
I'm spending the night. Yeah, totally.
I'm over here at Johnny's house. We're just getting a pie.
Yeah, all good. All good.
It would be fantastic. And the second one, I have to give a huge shout out and a free ad to Facebook Marketplace. Facebook Marketplace is, well, since I've been doing like tool stuff, it's been one of my favorite places anyway because you can get like super cheap shit on there that people are just trying to get rid of. But they're also, you can use them as your own personal garbage man. Mm. Like for real. I had all this scrap wood behind my shed and I went out there, didn't like organize it or anything, just took like a picture of it. Posted it on there. I was like, free scrap wood, come and get it. Within 5 minutes, I kid you not, I had no less than like 50 messages of people wanting to come get it.
Holy crap.
And this is the stuff that I was dreading getting rid of. Because you, when you're moving, and I've been in this house for 10 years, there's certain things you just don't want to do. You don't want to take the couches from upstairs and take them downstairs.
Ooh, yeah.
That part fucking sucks. You don't want to take a huge mattress downstairs because that sucks. And you don't want to take all kinds of scrap wood. Because it's not like you could just pick up a bunch of it and take it at one time. It's so meticulous to do this. People were like chomping at the bit to come get this stuff. I was over the moon. Two dudes showed up. It was gone in like 5 minutes.
Oh, hell
yeah.
Well,
I think a lot of people will sit on Facebook Marketplace and just scour it for any time they see an ad pop up for free. Because that translates to them, I can come get this and then potentially turn around and sell it myself and make a little profit. Now, what's your time worth? Because the idea of driving to someone's house to pick up scrap wood, to take another picture, to then post it, to then maybe drive it somewhere else, seems like a lot of work for, I don't know, how much can you sell scrap wood for?
I mean, not much.
Right.
I wouldn't think people are giving it away.
Oh, yeah.
I also had, because remember this summer, we had the huge load of cinder blocks that were in the back of my truck.
Yeah.
I had 32 left over. I don't want to take those to my new house. I don't want to load those up, put them in there, walk down the big hill at my new house with like cinder blocks. I posted these. This dude showed up. He had them all, like showed up with three guys. They were fucking loaded up and gone. All the heavy shit that I didn't want to get rid of, the jacuzzi hot tub, because I didn't think anybody was going to want this thing. I was like, where am I going to find a dumpster to put this in? It's fucking huge. I knew I wasn't going to use it that much anymore, so the water in it was like kind of moldy and stale. Stunk to high hell, and I emptied it out, posted it on Facebook Marketplace with it deflated. I was like, free. I had like 50 messages of people trying to get that thing. So all my stuff was gone in a heartbeat. One lady showed up. She showed up with this big white Dodge Ram on the back of the window. Huge. I mean, PFCs and Lance Corporals don't have stickers this big. It was huge, and it had the Eagle Globe and Anchor, Marine Corps, and then First to Fight underneath it. And I was like, "Are you?" I was like, "Oh, are you a Marine?" And she was like, "No, I bought this truck like this 5 years ago."
And just said, "You know what? I'm leaving it.
You haven't decided to remove this."
The other window's like a huge Bush did 9/11. She's like, "I don't believe that either, but it was on there when I got it." So
it's got like a huge Q on the driver's side window. Like,
that's not me, but it's on there, so it is what it
is. You're kind of really, you're like leaving a life behind. And what I mean by that is you're leaving the inflatable hot tub and your new place has an actual hot tub. You're leaving random cinder blocks behind because nobody actually needs cinder blocks.
You're like,
people need cinder blocks. That's not true. I built my barbecue station with cinder blocks and it looks lovely.
You're okay, like that's true. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kate.
Like a little white trash snake shedding his skin, slithering to a nicer
neighborhood. I didn't want to say white trash, but yeah. You're like the Jeffersons. You're moving on up.
I understand where your guys are coming from, but you guys, you might be right
about
something.
I didn't
want
to bring my cinder blocks
you're
over
wrong
to the
about
new
this
place.
Hot tub.
So.
This blow up hot tub was lovely.
No.
No, it
wasn't. Involved.
No, it
hey,
wasn't,
you know
dude.
That big water
touch
trough?
It doesn't
you know
feel
that big water
like a
trough
blow-up
for
pool.
Horses that I got for the kids this summer? We're going to...
Now, wait just a damn minute. You know I love that stock pick. Me and Annalise actually had like a little bit of an argument about should we bring it or not.
Because she's
like,
an actual normal person who's like, no,
she
we
wanted
have a
to
pool.
Bring it. I didn't.
Oh, wow. That's a surprise.
She was
adventure.
Like, let's bring it and we can have that as Gus and Dale's pool because we don't
right,
want them to get in the
idea.
Big pool.
That's not a bad idea because guess what? The thing was made for animals. So
I'm an animal. I'm an animal. You're an animal. We're not getting mammal shame on this show.
No, I like the idea of bringing that for the dogs. I think that is a good idea.
Well, I want Gussie Boy and Baby Dale, woohoo, to be able to go swimming. But I also can't abide just random dog hair just floating around the pool.
Right.
That feels pretty gross. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, we used to have a hot tub growing up. My mom didn't like my dad going in it because she was like, ugh, all his dead skin's going to be floating around in there because he's real dry skin. So,
honestly, that was one of the reasons why when you said that on, I think it was on the Chaps and Kate show the first time, when you said that, it's all I could think about when I got it. yeah. was like, you're essentially, because it's so hot, it's like 100, I think it was 107 degrees, you're essentially making people soup.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You're just bringing it to a nice little simmer.
It's true.
Imparting all the flavors.
Things just kind of melt off of you.
Yep.
Also, before we get started with the rounds, Kate, I want you to give the people where you're at. You're only like 2-3 weeks away from your actual due date. How are we doing?
It depends on the day. I actually, as they drop at the end, so like what? I can breathe a little easier now. He's off my spine, like for the most part, so I can actually walk again a little easier. But yesterday I did the most old lady thing. It was raining here, and we have this giant mall called the American Dream. And I was like, that'll be open enough that I won't be crowded around people, but that I could get a walk in. And as I was walking through this awful mall, I started to have like, I don't know what it was. I don't know what contractions feel like, but they stopped me in my tracks. And I was like, oh my God, don't let this happen in the fucking shithole Jersey Mall. Like, don't know. Like, I had to like get myself out of there. Like, so I'm starting to feel things that I'm like, ooh, this is gonna suck.
You're basically playing a game, poop or contractions.
Truly. And now, like, it is crazy to think. I know it's so annoying, I won't shut up about it, but, like, I have become obsessed with ripping my taint. Like, I have become obsessed with it. And it's crazy to think that, like, when you decide to have a baby, you're basically signing up for a countdown. Like, imagine you guys signing up for something cool, but, like, the caveat is, like, chaps, 9 months from now, you get this awesome, sick waterfall added to your pool, but like part of it's that you have to rip your taint.
What about you have two kids and then you get your ball sack cut open?
Exactly. You know, it's little things like that. It's not a good time. It's not a good time.
I am a confirmed vasectomy haver. Yeah. Are you Kyle? Kyle, are you a vasectomy haver?
I'm not.
Oh, wild man. Yeah. Hey, what's up with your guys' penises?
Kate, actually, though, I have a question. How is that mall?
All the stores were closed. And,
oh, really? Okay.
Oh, my God. And they had these animals on wheels. So, like, lions and tigers and bears and whatever on tiny wheels with handlebars. And kids, this huge line of kids... you rent them. And so the mall is just covered in, there was hundreds of kids on animals riding around like they were little motorcycles.
That sounds
it was like a clown show. It was like a fucking nightmare. It was like, but this mall has like the indoor ski slope and the indoor water park.
Well, so that crazy huge mall.
Yeah, so it's that crazy
it's
one
the
next
one
to
right,
MetLife.
Right by MetLife that has been in the works for 2 decades, not exaggerating. It's been being built or it's been complete and then it changed over ownership 1,000 different times. So it's just been this huge eyesore, basically. And then finally, somebody figured it out and they turned it into this mall. I've yet to go into it, but I am curious what it is like on the inside. But now that you tell me this, I think I'm all set.
I was like, oh, it's raining. I'll go for a walk over there and check it out. And I started walking and I started to feel these cramps. I was like, don't let it happen here. Oh, fuck no. I would have had somebody drag my crotch over the border of the doorway and had it right outside the doors of this place. Like, no. But anyway, so yeah, that's how it's going. It's rolling.
Let me ask you a question about this place. Do you remember how many square feet it is? I think you talked about it before, like 200,000 square feet or something insane.
It's bigger. It's literally like, it's probably like 14 football fields at least. Not more so. It's insane.
Yeah, huge. If you own that thing, what if you could take a place like that and make it lawless? Like
this
legitimate?
Place, it felt like it.
Where you could be like, anything goes except for murder and rape goofing. Other than that, you could do whatever you want.
I kind of wished I had roller skates, to be honest. I feel like
you
I
know what?
Cruise.
Yeah, you could definitely go in there with roller skates. I don't think anyone would yell at you.
No, there was families with scooters just scooting around the mall on scooters together. Like, nobody gave a fuck. It was wild. And there was no, like, I didn't see anybody who worked there. All the stores were closed. It was just these endless hallways with people just, like, doing whatever the hell they wanted. It was weird.
The American Dream Mall is really just trying to bring back the American Dream of the 80s when malls ruled.
Yeah. I wish they could bring back the American Dream Dusty Roads, RIP.
Rest in peace, yeah. True. So there you have it.
All right, let's get going with round number one. What do we got, Kate?
Oh, also, one final thing. They put a Q-tip in my butt at the last appointment.
Yeah. Mm. What's the point of that? What's the point of that?
And also, if you're going to be putting a Q-tip in someone's butthole, give them a warning.
They didn't tell you?
I think that's just common courtesy.
And let me go to the bathroom first with, like, have some baby wipes in there. Something. No, I'm not saying my asshole's
or a
gross,
bidet. But, a bidet, yeah.
Right? You just feel like, oh, my God. I didn't know you were
going because if you
there.
Don't know, what if you just had, like, a, like, oh, I'm running late, just do a real quick wipey. I'm not real, like, concerned at, like, getting everything, feeling like Tammy from Thousand Pound Sisters.
Right.
You need to know so you can get it all sparkling.
God forbid they pull the Q-tip back and there's, like, whatever. It was, I didn't know. Give me a fucking
I think
heads
that
up.
Whatever you're referencing is poop.
You're right. It is. And it's to test for, did you know you can have strep throat on your buttholes?
Nope. Didn't.
Oh, yeah. It's an infection. It's a
strep
bacterial
B.
infection.
They call it strep B. I don't know if that stands for strep butthole or what, but.
It does.
Yeah. So 30% of women have it. I didn't know, so I'm waiting to find out if I got strep on my butthole.
Careful, fellas. Don't be eating ass. You could end up with
strep throat on your butt.
You don't want butthole strep throat on your throat.
Right. I'm just really upset they didn't even just give you the slightest heads up, like, hey, you might feel something here.
It was a quick doink, and I was like, whoa, hello.
And if you do anal, that's why they call it strepcoccus.
Exactly. Thank you. But anyway, round number one. I just had to get into that. I didn't know. And all these other pregnant women were messaging me then because I posted about it. They're like, wait, what? And I'm like, yeah, apparently we all get our buttholes poked.
And they're like, no, no. That guy just liked to do it.
Yeah. They're like, no, they didn't do that to me.
Oh, my God, I was just a little weirdo.
Round number one.
They usually are. Shout out Rand Paul.
True. Round number one, military women and fitness standards. As soon as some people hear this, they don't even know what the story's about. They're like, ah, women.
And it's usually some dude that got out fat as fuck as a corporal that's like, back in my day when I used to do 3 pull-ups.
Right. It's always the biggest turd who's online who's like, rah, 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 rah. But, so the woman who became the Army's first female infantry officer is now speaking out against lowering fitness standards for women in a test that evaluates troops' combat readiness, saying that doing so undermines their credibility and also places women and their teammates and their mission at risk. The comments from Captain Kristen Griest. Am I saying that right, Cons?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Griest. She's an Army Ranger School graduate. Her comments came earlier this month because, as per usual, I feel like every month in the news, it's like the Army's redoing the way it scores fitness tests, blah, blah, blah.
The Army fucking loves changing the fitness programs and uniforms. It's like their thing.
Yeah. So they want to
it's
change
their identity.
They want to change the combat fitness test to account for the biological differences between women and men. But she's saying doing so would stray from the Army's original plan to make everything gender neutral. While it may be difficult for a 120-pound woman to lift or drag 250 pounds, the Army cannot artificially absolve women of that responsibility. It may still exist on the battlefield, she wrote in an essay. The entire purpose of creating a gender neutral test is to acknowledge the reality that each job has objective physical standards to which all soldiers should be held regardless of gender. And I have to agree with her on this. I think it should almost be based on what your MOS is a little bit.
I agree.
If you're admin, like, no, this shouldn't ruin your career if you can't, whatever. But if you're fucking infantry, like, no shit.
Or artillery. Like, you're supposed to be lugging around heavy-ass shit. Like, that's important.
Then you should have to.
Granted, as an artillery officer, whether you're FSO or FDO, you might not necessarily be carrying those rounds, but God forbid something happens.
You need to be able to jump on that line if you have to.
Exactly. You've got to be able to jump on the line and not miss a beat.
She says
the same thing with canine. Like, you might not have to throw your dog over a wall, but you sure as fuck better be able to.
Yeah, exactly. And to be able to withstand the training. Like, that dog took me down quick. That little. But anyway. But she also says it's incumbent upon women who volunteer for combat arms to ensure they are capable and qualified for it. To not require women to meet equal standards in combat arms will not only undermine their credibility, but also place these women, their teammates, and the mission at risk. And that's part of it, too. Like, I would think most women would agree with this, especially those volunteering for combat arms, because, you know, like, it's hard to get, and I'm not saying it's right, it's fair, but it's hard to get respect from these guys. There's always the guys out there looking for a reason to poke holes in why you should be there. And this just gives them another reason to be like, oh, look, blah, blah, blah. Like, unit cohesion, all that stuff, it is important. And so it does matter if the standards for a job like that where lives are on the line, like, it does fucking matter. Keep it.
Gender-neutral PFT should be across the board in all military branches. That should be the standard. It shouldn't change that was one issue that I had even when I was a junior Marine, because like junior folks, very much so in the Marine Corps, damn near half of your composite score is how in shape you are.
Yeah.
Like your physical standards. So when you look at just the sheer numbers of percentage of male Marines who score 20 pull-ups, who get up the full 100 points versus that of women that are in the Marine Corps, it was like 70% of women got that 100 points where like 10% of males did.
Yeah.
And that's a huge disparity at the junior enlisted ranks.
And it boils resentment. It like boils
it really
up
does.
A lot of resentment and a lot of, and I also truly believe that like, yes, I got a great PFT score every time because, you know, but I truly believe that if you had held me to higher standards, I would have met them. Like, I really believe that about myself. Like, but I'm a piece of shit. And so because I wasn't held, I was like, this works for me. I can do well at this right here. I'm not going to the gym every morning to learn pull-ups because blah, blah, blah. But had it been required of me and whatever, like, I know myself back then, these days, no. But then, I know that I would have done it. I would have fucking done it.
Yeah, I mean, you really do have to, though, because, I mean, so many times I've said on the show, one of the quickest ways, at least as an officer going into a new platoon to get respect, is just be amazing at PT. And you said, Kate, as you walk in as a female, before you open your mouth, just walking in the door, you're behind the eight ball. I hate to say it, but that's the way the guys and majority of guys in combat arms will look at a woman. They will not say, oh, guys, let's give her a chance. They will look at the woman walking in the door and say, oh, no, we got a female officer. Hopefully, maybe it's changing now as we get more females, at least in the Army.
I think it's changing, but it's
starting to change over. But I mean, if you think some guys aren't still moaning and groaning, then I'm sorry to tell you, but that's just the way it is still.
Well, she's
the perfect example is G.I. Jane.
Yes.
Like that. Like it is the perfect example of that. She walks in, she has to prove herself even more. And it's hard as like when you're trying to establish this equal culture, it's very hard to do that. And when saying, Marine one, you're a male, so you have to do 20 pull-ups to get 100 points. You have to do 8 to get 100 points.
Yeah.
Like that doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
And Grace also says, like, women in combat arms, like Cons was saying, have to fight every day to dispel the notion that their presence inherently weakens the previously all-male units. Mm-hmm. Lower female standards also reinforce the belief that women can't perform the same job, making it difficult to earn the trust and confidence of teammates, and that's everything. So, again, the ACFT... they're looking at it again. They're considering changing the standards, blah, blah, blah. And she's saying, like, don't do this. Don't lower the standards. Keep them the same. I could do it. I know other women can do it. Mm-hmm. And so let's keep it the same and let us show you that we can fucking do it. So, again, in 2016, she was one of two women who...
Our friend and fighter in Rough and Rowdy, Hannah Fryer, could do
Hannah
it.
Hannah Fryer. Mm. I swear to God, I follow her on Twitter all the time. She's so badass. Like, Hannah Fryer
she's
could do it.
She's fucking jacked.
And I knew women when I was in the Marine Corps. She got kicked out for weed. Her last name was Stoner.
That's fine.
Oddly enough. But yeah. She could do one-arm pull-ups with a Newport in her fucking mouth, dude. So, like, yeah, there's Yikes. Women out there. Yeah, oh, yeah, she was something else. Anyway.
Suck my...
my enormous baby clit. TMI, but love dropping.
Did you know a lot of times anatomy was discovered in 1996 that the female clit is often bigger than male genitalia of how far it goes up?
Thanks.
What do you mean?
Like the nerves and a clit makes it longer and bigger than most penises.
Oh, but like you can't see it?
Yes.
Oh, take that, mm-hmm. bitches. Mm-hmm. You little pussies. Mm-hmm. Anyway, in 2016, she became the first woman named as an infantry officer, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, I agree. I still also at the same time agree, let's keep it more MOS-based because I don't think it's necessary for like, well, whatever.
I mean, we've said it before. I don't care what's between your legs. If you could do the job, you could do the job. But I'm not going to feel bad for you if you can't do the job. Like, oh, well, it's, you know. Feel bad and maybe we'll change some things here and there.
No,
if you can't do it, then I'm not going to feel bad for you. Just like I'm going to bag on a guy.
This isn't decorating cakes at HEB. Yeah. It's like in the military. Like, you have to be able to perform the standard, and you could do that while you're wearing your Rocky boots. Ooh. Rocky boots are built for men and women that serve and protect the country and designed and built for each of the U.S. branches. Most recently, Rocky sided with the United States Marine Corps and developed the boot specifically for Marine. It's got that lovely U globe and anchor right there on the right heel. Rocky USMC boot is BERA compliant and made right here in the United States. They are super comfortable, and not only does Rocky make the best boots for our service members, they also make boots for times between. They have tennis shoes, they have boots, they have dress boots, they have all kinds of boots, cowboy boots. They sent me several pairs of cowboy boots. One of them have become my just straight up, I'm going outside, so I put them on. I feel like I'm turning into one of the people on like that swamp show where they go shoot alligators, where they're just constantly just slipping on boots with no socks on. I do that all the time. Every morning when I take McCartney to school, I have my like pajama pants on, and I throw on a hoodie and just slip on my cowboy boots with no socks.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Take them to school and drop them off, and then I start my day with Rocky boots. You should too by going to rockyboots.com. Enter the promo code ZBT at checkout for 25% off your next pair of boots. Pick up one of their shirts too. This isn't part of the ad read. Most comfortable cotton. I don't know where they got this shit.
Yes.
It's like Egyptian cotton shirt.
I have been fucking living in it, and especially with my prego, I tie it underneath my belly like in a cute little knot. It's been my number one. I probably wear it like 4 times a week. I'm obsessed with it. Yeah.
I was putting away my clothes, and I was like, where the fuck is my Rocky boots? Sure.
Yeah.
It's like, because Kelsey's notorious about stealing like my t-shirts, the soft ones mm-hmm. to sleep in.
Yeah.
And I was like, where is my Rocky boots? I went up to her room. I was like, where's my Rocky boots shirt? I was like, that's the one I like to wear when I'm just watching TV at night. Give it to me. She's like, I don't have it, Dad. I don't have it. I swear I don't have it. I'm like, okay, we'll open up your closet. Open up your
closet.
I want to see.
Open your closet.
Turns out I was cleaning out all my drawers. It was in the back of my and I was like,
what is it inherent about women that just forces you to steal our comfortable sweatshirts and t-shirts?
Well,
dude, if there was somebody that was 40 pounds bigger than me, 50 pounds bigger than me that lived in the house, I'd be wearing their shirt at night.
Thank you. Yes, absolutely.
Coley right. moves in with me, I'm wearing his clothes at night.
That's fair.
Big Cat, give me Big Cat's hoodie. I'll throw that bad boy.
Yeah, you guys are missing out. Sorry. It's a treat.
It's like right. a robe.
I wear all Pat's.
I mean, imagine how sexy I would look if I had like a triple X and it's hanging down mid-thigh and I walk out and be like, guess what's just underneath the waistline of this.
Chaps turns on that R&B song, t-shirt and my panties on.
I have to tell a quick story, and I have to be quiet because if my roommate hears me, she's gonna throw a fit.
Uh-oh.
But speaking of giving away sweatshirts, she had a pal that had to crash here the other night, so she went in my closet, gave her sweatshirt, gave her friend a sweatshirt that I have had since college that I can't replace. Ooh. And luckily it came back. I would have been furious if this sweatshirt disappeared forever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's not very many sentimental things. I had this weekend, I did a little periscope where I'm cleaning out my shoes and shit, and I did like stay or go. And one of the ones that was like in the back of my closet was my boots that I wore in Fallujah. And I was like, should it stay or should it go? And everybody's like, what's wrong with you? Keep those. Like,
yes, absolutely. It. Absolutely. I have my combat boots sitting in my closet. Probably never wear them ever again, but I'm not throwing those bad boys out.
Yeah, I don't really like them. They stink to high hell.
They're ugly.
They fucking reek.
Yeah.
But if yours reek, make sure you go to Rocky Boots with a promo code ZBT, and you're going to get 25% off some
huge
new boots so you don't
percentage
have to wear
off,
your stinky ones.
By the way,
that is
25%
off.
By the way, real quickly, before we move off first, Chaps, were you with me the year we ran into Greist on the streets in Philadelphia at the Army-Navy game?
Who's Greist?
The woman we just talked about from the first story. The infantry captain.
Yeah, I think so. Like outside of Starbucks or something.
Yeah, something like that. It was late at night. Yeah. But anyway, that's
the story.
That's the extent of the story.
Did she beat you up?
Let's move
something?
On to round number two.
No, I was going to say she was a very nice girl.
Woman.
Woman. God.
Yeah. How about
my
that?
Apologies? Woman. Female. Sheesh. Whatever.
Oh,
round number two. We've been wasting billions of dollars in Afghanistan. That's no surprise. We also want to tell you a little bit about our money pits. I'll start with mine. My biggest money pit I think that I've ever had in my life was a boat that I got for a really good deal. And it was older boat, and I named it Turd Crapley because it was like this ugly color brown, but it was awesome. And then the engine stopped working, and the trailer that was on it was fucking terrible. I didn't know how to do anything. It turns out learning how to drive a boat trailer and all that stuff via YouTube is difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's difficult, and I sucked at it. So I'm having to go in, like, Texas, where all these dudes have probably been doing it since they were born with a Lone Star beer in their mouth, and they've been backing up boat trailers. And it's taken me, like, 30 minutes on the boat dock to get my boat back in. So that embarrassment, I just, like, would keep it in the marina. I kept my boat in the marina for, like, 2 years parked there, paying $150 a month, and never took it out.
Yeah.
Never.
Ugh. Yep. That's terrible. That's terrible.
Yeah. So that's mine.
Mine would definitely be my Honda CR-V, the old car that I had in the city. I bought it for with one single check for around $7,000. I easily probably spent over $10,000 in repairs and parking tickets. Mm-hmm. The amount that I was spending in parking tickets, if you guys could see, it was absolutely insane. Like, absolutely insane. Given,
oh, I believe it, because like once a month you'd be like, "Hey guys, I might be a little late. I gotta go down and try to find my car and figure out
at the pound
which one of the impound lots it is."
Yep, all the time getting it out of the but even then, dealing with that was cheaper than it would have been to pay for parking in the city, which is insane. But still, $10,000. Also, I was paying for a storage facility down in Delco for like 3 years. I never once went to. All I ever had to do was just drive down there, empty it out, and, like, clear my shit out, but I never did.
Oh, you had also Planet Fitness.
And Planet Fitness. 3.5 years I had a membership there down in Delco, once again, where I didn't live there, and I finally went and canceled out those things the other day. Not huge, but definitely, I'm a huge money. I have little money pits all over the place, so it's nice to be closing those out finally.
Have you guys ever heard of the, it's an app now. Let me see what it's called. It's called, like, True Blue or some shit like that. Yeah, True Bill. And they'll go through and you give them access to your bank account and they will see what's recurring things. Turns out the CBS Sports app, I got it in like 2017 to watch all of the NCAA tournament games on. It was $6.99 a month. I hadn't had that on my phone, on my TV since 2017. And it was just every month, $5.99 or $6.99, coming out. And the things when you run that app that you find that you pay for, you're like, I am a moron.
Yes. And then you don't think, like, oh, $5.99, like, okay, whatever. But then when you realize $5.99 over the course of whatever, like, we were sitting at Alex's dad's
house. That's a vacation, dude. $5.99 a month from 2017 to now is a vacation.
Yeah. Dude, so we were sitting at Alex's dad's house one time, and he said he hasn't had cable basically ever. And he's like, do you realize, like, me not having cable paid for me to go to Italy 1 year? And we're like, all right, well, that checks out. That's a lot of money. Yeah.
Game changer.
McCartney, by the way, signed up somehow on our Fire TV for every added Nickelodeon thing you could possibly. We had, like, Nickelodeon Prime Time Deluxe Super. You could get anything you wanted.
Dude.
Every single episode of Double Dare, everything.
Everything on smart TVs right now is just, you just keep clicking and you'll get it. Whether or not, you know, because it's all connected to your bank account. So you don't have to, like, really type anything in, like a credit card number or anything. So it's very easy that she could have done that.
Oh, yeah.
They could have done
I need Congress to step in and be like, hey, no more adding in extras to kids' apps.
Yeah.
That should be a law.
Yeah, seriously.
Cons, if I had to guess your money pit, I would say fancy, well-fitting clothes.
Well, yeah, I was going to say in a surprise.
Suits big time at your old fancy boy job.
In a surprise to no one, the officer doesn't have any money pits. I'm actually pretty responsible.
God
so I don't
damn
know
it.
What you guys talk about.
That's not
no,
true.
I guess,
your old clothes. You used to say you spend a lot of money on clothes.
Yeah, no, I guess if I do have a vice, it's clothing. So, yeah, I guess that's a pit because anytime, obviously, it's not like clothes are an investment. You wear them and then eventually you just have to put them in a bag and give them to a donation bin. So, yeah, I guess clothes.
Kyle, I can't see you having any money pits either.
No, I disagree. Kyle has a huge money pit, and if he's not honest about it, I'm going to roast his ass. What
is
it, Kyle?
I was going to say my tools. I have a ton of tools, just in hand planes.
What particular tool, Kyle?
Hand planes, probably.
Yes, yeah. You have a hand plane addiction.
I have a lot of hand. I have a drawer full of them. That just kind of sit there. I'm going to.
There was a time this summer where if Kyle didn't text me every other day that he got a plane, he wasn't texting. He was getting them in the mail all the time.
I've got a lot, but I use them. But I mean, tools are easily my money pit. I've got so many tools. I've got a $450 bench planer just sitting in the box on the floor of my garage.
Oh, yeah.
I'll use it. So
I mean, see, and now you're turning into me.
I know.
When we first started talking, you were like, I don't know how you do that.
I'm sorry to cut you guys off, but the reason I'm asking this is to soften everyone's minds about our U.S. government, because, look, we all have our money pits, so it's not that big a deal that the U.S. wasted billions of dollars in Afghanistan on buildings and vehicles that we have now abandoned or destroyed, according to a report released by a government watchdog. The agency reviewed $7.8 billion spent since 2008 on buildings and vehicles. $343.2 million worth of buildings and vehicles were still in good condition, but that's it. So what's $7.8 billion minus $343 million?
$7.5 billion.
$7.5 billion wasted, my friends.
I love how she said that. Like, that was some really difficult math problem that none of us were going to be able to get. And Jeff was just like, that's $7.5 billion.
Too many zeros for me. The Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction, a.k.a. SIGAR, they oversee anybody listening right now, this is your taxpayer money. $7.5 billion of it might as well have just been burned.
I'm surprised it's not more. Like, that's,
yeah, it's not bad.
That's less than I thought it would be. I mean, that's just like, that's 70 F-35s.
Yeah.
That's all that is.
I would have thought it'd be more, too.
John F. Sopko, the Inspector General, Special Inspector General, said the fact that so many assets wound up not used, deteriorated, or abandoned should have been a major cause for concern for the agencies financing these projects. No shit, and you're just saying this now after 20-something years. The public is wary of the 20-year-old war, and Joe Biden is reviewing a peace deal with his predecessor Trump, who signed a deal with the Taliban a year ago. He must decide whether to withdraw all troops by May 1st, as promised in the deal, or stay and prolong the war. So far, no official decision has been made, but we know in the process...
Spoiler alert, we're staying.
We're staying, and more taxpayer money will be burned. There's peace talks going on right now. Analysts are saying that the findings by SIGAR are not surprising. No, especially if you've been there, boots on the ground. I have letters that I wrote to my dad as a Lance Corporal being like, Dad, imagine just burning a huge pile of money. That's what we're doing right now. Like, me as...
You know who else did that?
Who?
Bo Bergdahl.
Bo Bergdahl. Yeah, that's right. I was Bo Bergdahl. And I'm like, well, wait. But,
there but for the grace of God go on.
Yeah. Who are we to throw stones, you know? We all... the reasons for the financial losses include Taliban attacks, corruption, and throwing money at the problem without considering the implications, he said.
Mm-hmm.
No shit. It's one thing to build a clinic and a school, another to operate, maintain, and in many cases defend this infrastructure. Additionally, the West has wildly underestimated the impact of Afghan corruption and, in many cases, incompetence. It is always a recipe for failure. Again, looking back...
I hate that. I hate that we pass the buck on their incompetence. If you're throwing $7.8 billion at something and you know that this is a cyclical thing... You are also incompetent.
If you're throwing $7.8 billion
you're an enabler.
Into a system that you're trying to treat like our U.S. democracy when you know it is clearly not and it does not work that way, but you're throwing money at it as if it does, that's on us.
Well, I think
like
part
of the
problem
of education.
Yeah.
I think part of the problem, though, too, is it's not like one check for $7.8 billion that someone wrote. So, because you wouldn't walk away from a $7.8 billion investment. But as an example, like when I was in Iraq and we put that special insulation on those tents, and I just looked up what of those tents cost, like five grand for one of those tents, and we had 20 of them, let's say. So you're looking at 100 grand. It's easy to walk away from 100 grand and say, all right, we're just going to leave those in Iraq or in plenty of things in Afghanistan. Like if it's 100 grand, like, we can walk away from 100 grand. So because it's like nickel and dime in them here and there, people are very easy passing the buck, as opposed to if you sat them down and you really put it on paper and said, this is what you're walking away from. I think, or at least I hope, that people would think differently about it.
Again, I think a lot of this goes back to the awards situation too.
I was just
like when you
that.
Say that you brought in this amount of gear, you're in charge of this amount of gear. Like that all goes on award summaries and things like that, and that's how people view shit. I can't stand that aspect of it.
I think a lot of it is, as long as you had something to show for it and numbers to show for it and it made you look so good, nobody cared. After the initial schoolhouse was built or after the initial hospital care facility was built, nobody thought about sustainability. Sure,
it's all about that photo op with the big
exactly.
old
scissors. Nobody thought about after that, well, we don't have any medicine or any this or that to put in there. We don't have.
I did a few of those photo ops, by the way.
We all did. It's insane.
I'm sure it's listed in your Bronze Star site.
So basically, I just wanted to get people pumped up as tax season is upon us. That $7.8 billion in Afghanistan alone, just we pretty much took your money and set it on fire, the U.S. government said.
I'll be completely 1,000% honest. Except for Lackland Air Force Base, the nicest kennel I have ever been in as a military working dog handler, and I've been in tons, was in Al-Asad Air Base in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
Like, easily the nicest. The things that they had automatic fucking dog kennel flushers, where instead of having a Marine out there with a spray, like a with a hose with a spray nozzle, they had ones that the dogs could go up on top of a ledge, you pull the button, and it would spray out like straight from the kennels.
That's pretty
cool. Spray all the shit out. That doesn't happen anywhere else except for there, because you have a walkthrough. Al-Asad was where all the dignitaries, because it was the safest green zone base, they would come through and be like, look what we did here. This is incredible.
Yeah.
Like, oh, wow, this is really nice.
It's funny you say that, because now that I think about it, the best food I ever ate in military mess halls were the mess halls in Iraq. So that's kind of crazy to think about. And I have a question. Do you think we're one of the few outlets that still care about the fact that, like, outside of the military, how many people do you think care that we're still in Afghanistan?
I don't think people even talk about it. I see comments online all the time like, what if we go to war? Like, what if?
If they had an app like Chaps was talking about.
Yes.
That shows you, if you had an app that showed you how much of your taxpayer money gets wasted on bullshit like this, I bet people would care.
That's how that's what you should bring up the next presidential election. You know, like, line item out, like, hey, U.S. taxpayers, here's what you're paying for us to still be in Afghanistan.
What, people that be very much in Mint, arms. Right? Yes. Isn't it Mint that gives you, like, the pie chart that'll see where your taxes go? If somebody saw legitimately, I think it's 2/5 of each individual person's taxes goes to defense.
But I wish that people could see, like, you could follow your dollar exactly. It's like, oh, Mr. Smith, $300 of your hard-earned money went towards a bidet for golden retrievers in Al-Asad. You know, you're like, what?
What the fuck? Why did I just pay 78 cents because Lance Corporal Johnson lost his fucking sleeping
seat? Exactly. So, guys, I got it. Yeah. I got it. Here it is. Here it is. We, the four of us, and I'm saying it, and nobody can steal this idea. This is copyrighted now by the fact that I'm saying it. The four of us, we're going to create an app. We're going to sell it to the Defense Department. It's going to solve our problem in Afghanistan while subsequently making us all filthy rich.
Okay.
What is
Kyle?
It?
Kyle?
It's all these apps that we've been talking about, just all together and specific for the military.
Oh, yeah. That's on Kyle. Kyle.
Yeah, Kyle.
I'm just going
to. Kyle, get to work, buddy.
You're going to download the app, and it's just going to say leave. And then all like, that's it. That's all.
Yeah.
Exactly, Kyle, you do all the work, and I'm going to take all the credit.
Yeah, no
Let's
problem.
Let's go to an interview that we're going to have with our friend Adam Kinzinger, who is a congressman who used to play a role in deciding how long you stayed at war. They no longer do. That seems to be an executive branch decision now, which goes against the Constitution of the United States, but nobody seems to have a problem with that. Here's the congressman from Illinois, Adam Kinzinger.
All right, now joining us for, I don't know, maybe the fifth or sixth time, ZBT is one of our favorite guests, representative from the great state of Illinois, Adam Kinzinger. Sir, how are you doing today?
Hey, buddy, it's good to be with you. And if it's five or six times, it's not enough. It's still not enough.
Yeah, that's true. You just got back from a lovely trip back in Washington, back on the grind. And a lot going on for you. For anybody who is listening to our show, may or may not know, you've been all over television, all over the news for a new PAC that you have started, Country First. So how did we get here that we needed, or excuse me, I say we, like I'm part of this. How did we get here that you started this PAC, Country First?
By the way, you did start this, man. The inspiration on January 6th of everybody was Cons. They're like, Cons said. So yeah, it's your fault. But no, look, a year ago, I did, you know, this video on this iPad just about conspiracy theories and talking about QAnon eventually. And I realized there was a lot of like interest in it. And so, you know, we obviously got to the election. The election wasn't stolen, but that narrative was passed around. And I think, you know, in all seriousness, when you undermine the idea that your vote counts, and I think it's a real threat to democracy. And, you know, many of your listeners that have been around to failing democracies, they know that. And, you know, politics exists to prevent violence. And so I was pretty outspoken. And then, of course, the insurrection on January 6th, I was right here in my office as it was going down. And I just said, look, we got to be aggressive. And, you know, I fell in love with the Republican Party when I was young because it was all about like hope and inspiration and opportunity. And we certainly have lost that message. And so really what happened is I did a video, and your listeners should go to Country First. It's with a 1st.com to see it, because it will kind of give a better understanding. But I basically just was talking about, here's the great history of the party. Here's where we're off the rails. Here's where we can go. And I'll tell you, that thing turned into a movement. And, you know, we had tens of thousands, I think 40,000 email addresses within 24 hours of people said, you know, sign me up, count me in. And so we kind of inadvertently launched a movement to take back the party, and really to take back not even just the party, but the narrative of politics in the country, because, you know, put your country first, country before your party. That's it. Easy.
Yeah, because it seems like now we're just embroiled in this culture where it's not about, do I focus on what I'm trying to accomplish? I want to focus on dunking on somebody else and making them feel like they're wrong and I'm right. And it's not about governing anymore.
No, because what's happened is, so I think there's a lot of kind of deep analysis into this, but the top line is people now are getting into politics to be famous. You could be famous instantly. I could tweet some crazy thing or do something crazy and be world famous immediately. Marjorie Taylor Greene is an example of that. And then now you have young people coming into politics that know no different. They've only seen that that's how you do politics. And so what's happened is it's turned into this idea of own the libs, like you said. So now you can get something on one of these websites where you slam dunked a liberal, great, you know, or you slam dunked a conservative. But the bottom line is, have you convinced them? Probably not. You know, we saw with Marjorie Taylor Greene, I hate to talk about her, but she's such an she's made herself an important figure. We have to talk about her. You know, putting this transgender sign up outside a member of Congress from Illinois, who I disagree with on everything, you know, putting up a sign and that other member has a daughter that's transgender. Look, you can disagree with the Equality Act and the things in it, but you're right there. You're just trying to start a fight. What the hell is that about? And that's what's got to stop, right? Disagreements are fine. Passion's fine. But this kind of like burn the place down garbage is not a lasting solution for a healthy country.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, be a good human first and foremost. And I don't know how people expect to work. And, you know, the party line is always, well, I want to go across the aisle. Well, how would you expect to go across the aisle if you're going to say vile things about somebody's family? Why would they want to work with you?
You're right. And I think part of the problem is just, you know, those of us that have been in the military and have been to combat, and that being in the military and being in combat doesn't make you like a magic person that now can transcend everything. But I do think it gives a perspective where it's like, all right, you were in Iraq and you saw Afghanistan, how hard those people are fighting for democracy. You see what mistrust does and the violence, and you recognize that, you know, your little I got a bajillion retweets stunt is actually feeding into the eventual failure. And by the way, the stuff you're concerned about now, if the country fails, will pale in comparison, like when you can't get your heart medicine.
Right. You know, you put that sign up as the example you used. I don't know what that, you know, a day from now even accomplishes. Nothing. Other than, as you said, I'm out here for the retweets, and that's just silly. So, I mean, from what I'm hearing from you, this starting this Country First PAC is something that kind of morphed over time from observing your party from the inside and not liking what it is. So would you say this is the goal of the PAC is kind of Is it anti-Trump? Is it pro fixing the GOP? Excuse me. Did it go before Trump that you started to see these signs? How did you ultimately say, all right, we need this?
Yeah, so I think some of this started before Trump. You know, we've been I think it's kind of uniquely more on the right than the left, which is, and I don't know the reason for it, but we tend to be more on the right conspiracy. We can get pulled into conspiracies earlier. I remember in the 90s, it was the UN helicopters and then the guillotines for Christians at the FEMA camps. And then in 2015, it was Jade Helm, where Barack Obama was going to overthrow the state of Texas. And I mean, this stuff is just constant. And QAnon's just the latest iteration. When that's fully dead in the grave, there'll be another thing that comes. And I think when I saw this happening and I realized I've been talking actually for since I've been in Congress about what is conservatism. Because if you ask the average person, they'll say conservatism is lower taxes or build the wall or whatever. No, all conservatism is to me is that a kid born in the inner city has the same opportunity as a kid born in the richest suburb. That's equal opportunity. And let's do everything we can. That's why we want lower taxes. Why we want a strong defense. And Donald Trump derailed that. Yeah, some of the policies he passed I liked. But the narrative that's going to come out of the last 4 years is not that the tax cuts worked. It's that Donald Trump caused an insurrection on the Capitol. And we're going to be ashamed and embarrassed. So that basically led to me just putting it all on the line on the video and saying, we're going to fight for this party on the inside and we're going to be aggressive. We're going to take this public because this idea of papering over differences now for the sake of feigning unity, we've tried that for 10 years and look where it's gotten us. Now we're taking this message to the people. And look, it may fail. Maybe the kind of the Trump idea wing wins out. Okay, we know that. We can figure out options at that point. But look, you're always, I think, going to have a Republican and a Democratic Party. I have as much of a right to fight for the soul of that as, frankly, Donald Trump does.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you've started to see a little bit of fallout from this because one thing I will applaud you for is when you made this pact, it wasn't about saying what's wrong on the other side. It was saying, taking that look inside at yourself and saying, guys, ladies, this is what's wrong with us and here's why we need to fix it. And in doing so, you have ostracized yourself from your own family. What has that been like? And how are you going to reconcile for yourself your way forward with your family as well as the GOP?
Yeah, so I think part of that is, you know, the whole looking inside. So it's really easy for me to point to the Democrats and say, you guys didn't sufficiently condemn the summer riots. And they can point at us and say, you guys didn't condemn January 6th. It's not going to convince a soul. What is only going to change our way of thinking is when you're honest about what's happening to the people that will listen to you, right? In the Republicans, if a Republican says we've gone off the rails, it's much more effective than if Nancy Pelosi says it, because that just hardens battle lines. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, for me, I'm at total peace. I mean, so one of my favorite examples, Band of Brothers, is still like my favorite series. And there was the one series where Lieutenant Spears and Private Blythe, you know, it followed both of them. Blythe didn't fight for 3 days, felt like a coward. You know, Spears had all this stuff where they believed he was killing prisoners and stuff. And at the end, they finally meet and Blythe confesses that he had hid on D-Day. And Spears goes, you know what your problem is? And Blythe goes, I'm scared. And he goes, no, we're all scared. Your problem is you have hope. He goes, until you realize you're already dead, you can't operate as a soldier. All war depends on it. And then Blythe shot somebody. And so the point is, you have to be willing to put your life in war on the line and your career. And when I, you know, I've looked at it and said, look, if I don't win, okay, I'm at total peace. I can make more money. I can come on your show more often. You got to force you guys to finally pay me and, you know, live a good life, but I can sleep at night. And so that's what led to this, like, kind of just put all the chips in. And then lastly, on the family stuff, it's my dad's cousins. Look, it was a shocking letter. I'm sure a lot have seen it. You know, you're in the devil's army. You've disappointed the Kinzinger name. Look, I feel more sorry for them than I do for me. I'm sure there's going to have to be some forgiveness that I still haven't, you know, put out. But I don't feel that doesn't tear me up. And quite honestly, I have no desire to reconcile with them. And my immediate family's been great, even if they disagree. But these crazies, you know, I'm glad I didn't even release the letter, but she had sent it so far and wide it got out. Mm-hmm. I'm glad it got out because I think it's a good example of what Trump and division is doing to the country.
Yeah, and I mean, your family is not unique in that. I'm sure there are thousands and thousands of people that can relate on that same exact level. And you're absolutely right, because the game of politics where you always have to wonder, all right, if I vote this way, what's this person going to say? If I say this, what's this news outlet going to say? And you're just saying, the heck with all of that, I'm going to say the right thing at this time right now. And I think that's awesome. And I would like to officially say, if need be, you can come to my home for Thanksgiving, Christmas, whatever. We'll include you with the pajamas on Christmas Eve. It'll be a whole thing. So
yeah, that'll be awesome.
Have to worry about that.
And we can have like kind of Thanksgiving, you know, family cuddle time and just, you know, share stories.
Yeah.
That'd
so
be great.
I guess what is the way forward now, both for the Country First PAC, the GOP, and our country as a whole, from your perspective?
So look, the whole movement of Country First is growing really quickly. And again, I would encourage people to go to countryfirst.com with a 1ST. I'll tell you what's interesting is I didn't even realize when I named it, you know, that was, I was good friends with John McCain. I respected the hell out of him. And that was his saying. And all the McCain alumni are so proud and happy that that is being carried on, that legacy. And so what's going forward? This thing has grown quickly. We're getting a grip on how much energy there really is. I foresee, on the one hand, having allies that are out there supporting, you know, races and stuff. On what I can control of this, recruiting, bringing in candidates at all levels, not just Congress, but even, you know, city council. One of the most impactful articles I read was by the mayor of Oklahoma City, who's a Republican, but he's like, we've been not telling people the truth to avoid the pain. So people like that. The bottom line is, if you want supported by Country First and helped and promoted, it's easy. You got to tell people the truth. Don't peddle in conspiracies and don't peddle in fear, except real fear. I'm fearful of division. I'm fearful of COVID. I'm fearful of China. I'm not fearful that the Democrats are going to kill me and my family.
But it's, you know, I kind of chuckle at that statement, but if you ask some people in this country, they do think the opposite. And we've gone so far in one direction that we do need something of this nature to kind of reel it back in and get people back on the same page and realizing, all right, politicians, one, they're not out to get you, all of them. And two, you know what? For the most part, a lot of them aren't going to be there that long. So if you don't like them, they're going to be gone in a little bit and your life will continue on. And you don't need to attach yourself to these politicians to the extent that people have.
Yeah, they're not cult leaders. Well, some are cult leaders, but, you know, they don't need to be. And think about this for those that have kids, right? You know, I'm 43 in a week, a couple of days, I guess. And I remember Ronald Reagan. I remember George H.W. I remember Clinton. I remember W. Obama, right? All those that would speak as presidents. And I think even Biden's doing it now. But if you think about over the last 20 years and the division in this country, a kid that's 20 years old or 25 years old today that's never seen any politics that's different, how in the hell do we expect them to restore the system to what we remember if we're not going to provide that example? You know, kids, when they think of politics, you know, and they're going to be the generation that takes the torch, all they think about is yelling, screaming, families breaking up and owning the libs, right? I want them to think of honorable discussion. You know, Danny Davis, a good friend of mine, he's an African-American congressman in Chicago. We vote differently on everything. He's passionate about the inner city. I'm passionate about the inner city. We may have different prescriptions, but we can learn a lot from each other and solve that.
Yeah. And you know what? Just because his party's voted one way and your party's voted one way forever, that doesn't mean that you always have to continue to vote a certain way if you
That's
don't
right.
believe in something. So it's crazy. It doesn't seem like it's that difficult, but I understand how it is difficult when Washington has been stuck in its ways for as long as it has. So it's like
you and Chaps, you know, have a good relationship. You don't agree on everything, but you recognize, you respect each other as individuals, even though you're an officer and you're superior to him. Mm-hmm, you know, you don't
correct.
Show
Thank
that.
You. Thank you. I appreciate you saying that because I'm usually the one getting dumped on. So it's good to have a little support for the
I'm here to
truth.
Defend you, brother. I'm with you.
Thank you.
We'll do like a little officer's cheers and, you know, and just go do officer things.
Perfect. Good, 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 good. So, I mean, speaking about the new president, obviously it's still pretty early, obviously, in his presidency, but what's the current mood in Washington? You know, we're still in this pandemic. Hopefully we're climbing out of it now. We have a new president, on the heels of the insurrection on January 6th. What's the mood?
It's really bitter here. You know, part of the problem on top of everything that's happened is we haven't had a lot of face-to-face interaction because we are taking pandemic precautions. So we go to vote, leave. We're not really doing a lot of committee stuff in person. And so it's really frayed personal relationships, which we're already fraying anyway. But then, of course, you know, look, if I'm a Democrat and this insurrection happened, I'd be friggin' furious. I'm furious as a Republican. And Republicans think that the Democrats under, you know, Biden are going to, I mean, it's this pierce this veil of mistrust and fear. You know, everybody's fearful, so they're fighting because fear leads to conflict. But I'll tell you, you know, with President Biden, I respect the man a lot. There's a lot I'm going to disagree with, and as I've said, I'll support him when I can, and I'll oppose him professionally when I need to. Professionally is the key. But you know what's nice is not waking up and seeing the latest tweet du jour, the outrage du jour. I mean, federal government's supposed to be pretty boring, right? We're supposed to not garner all this interest. So I'm happy he's bringing professionalism back to the office, and I'm happy that I get to oppose him now without having to deal with name calling and whatever else.
Yeah, we need to go back to the days where we just thought everybody in Washington was a huge geek.
Yeah. So, hey, listen, they used to say that politics or DC is Hollywood for ugly people, but I now think it's all like meshed together.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll give you that. You know, you're not an ugly person, so I'll give you that.
Thanks, brother.
You're surviving. Okay. Let's just shift gears a little bit because lest we forget, you are still very much in the Air Force. Mm-hmm. And what is going on with the Air Force and the F-35 program?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically almost declaring it a failure. You know, we've spent hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars on this thing. I don't think it's a failure. I think, you know, it's one of those, you have to guard against sunken cost fallacy, which is we've spent so much, we have to keep spending. But at the same time, it is essential to have a fifth generation fighter. We need to learn from this in terms of when we go on to sixth generation and unmanned. You know, I know, for instance, some of the F-16s have even more advanced radars on some of them because the F-16, you can plug and play a radar. F-35's all integrated. So, look, there has to be some in the worst case, we have to learn a lot from what happened and change it because this is the kind of thing, you know, we spend over $700 billion a year on the Pentagon. People say it's too much money. I can look at it and say you have to have those investments to compete. But this is the kind of thing that gives it a bad name. And I don't know how to go in and reform everything, but we need to think outside of the box. You know, one of my thoughts, for instance, as a pilot myself, you know, I'm in an F-16 unit. I don't fly the F-16. But why is an F-16 being deployed for 6-hour caps over Afghanistan when there's no real surface or air-to-air threat? Mm-hmm. Why don't you have a light attack fighter that costs, you know, an eighth as much? You know, it's 1/20th as much. It's more effective on close air support. And by the way, the pilots that fly the F-16 can fly that light attack fighter too. It's the same mission, right? Multiple people fly different kinds of planes. That's the kind of thinking we need outside of the box. And we're stuck in this, you know, we've got to spend the next on the next biggest, brightest thing.
Yeah, but I mean, how much do you think is just the Air Force having an ego and being reticent to just admit failure?
I think it's some of it. I think it's some of it. I think there's a defense posture, you know, about you don't want to say this is a failure. It doesn't work, right? Because there's a whole, you know, nexus that goes into that. I think the F-35 can be effective in areas. And if we can invest and make it exactly what we envisioned, we're going to have to do that. But I do think, you know, even within the Air Force, there's a battle between heavy pilots and tanker pilots and, you know, fighter pilots and special ops pilots. And I think there is some, not ill-intentioned, but where it's, you know, you always think your platform's the best for the future. And I just think we got to get out of that. And I think that's maybe where, you know, having civilian control again you know, where a secretary of the Air Force isn't somebody that's there just to get like a feather at the end of their career. They're there to actually make strategic decisions separate from any of these other interests is going to be important. Because look, Space Force is a really important part of the future. I giggle still every time I say it, but that space front is really the next generation fight. The Chinese are scared to death of our Space Force, honestly. And I don't want that to turn into the kind of morass you see in other areas of the Pentagon.
Okay. I mean, hearing you say that is kind of a surprise that there are people who are genuinely in fear of our Space Force, because admittedly, it's been somewhat of the butt of the joke on our show. But I guess maybe we'll attribute that to.
Oh, no, I still screw with them. Don't worry.
Good, good.
You know, like, come on, you're wearing pilot wings. Come on, Space Force. But, you know, I used to make fun of them a lot. We'd always call them we jokingly would call them space weenies when they were part of the Air Force. But what I've learned in the last 5 or 10 years is, man, that next generation of space really is. When we think of the Chinese have a satellite that can move around and take ours out, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean,
gotta go there.
Kind of meshing the F-35 conversation along with the Space Force, do you see the future of both branches being unmanned more so than manned flight?
I hate to say it, but yeah. No, I think where there's going to be manned flight is, for instance, as you have an F-35 or an F-22 that based just like in the movies, whatever you see in the movies will happen, you know, controlling a fleet of drones. So you have a pilot and a stealth aircraft basically overwhelming air defenses with drones, which is pretty cool. If you think about an air defense system that maybe has 10 shots, if you send 11 drones in, you're going to take it out every time. It's that like overwhelming but cheaper use of force. But yeah, I think unmanned's the future. You know, AI, it all scares me to death because, you know, you think of Terminator 2. But the Chinese and Russians are doing it. And if we don't, we will fall behind. And they don't have like really the ethical concerns that we do put into our decision making.
Yeah. And we have to consider that we do have a whole generation who grew up with pretty advanced video games. So it stands to reason it would be pretty lethal.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And it's like Space Invaders and, you know, people playing Dungeons and Dragons, but now controlling all the, you know, warlocks, whatever. I didn't play it. So they have warlocks. Yeah.
Yeah. Why not? Yeah. So, all right. I know you're a busy guy, and I'm going to just leave you with the one question that if I didn't ask, I would regret. And I see one of your staff members, whose name I won't mention, smirking at me right now. The Morrigator, as we affectionately call her. It's 2021. Give me a percentage. Are we going to see you in 24 and 28 running for the highest office in the land?
My joking answer is, you know, look, as I got to get Chaps so I can do the bipartisan, you know, run, and he can be my kind of vice president, and just we can put him behind glass because he's beautiful. No, look, it's certainly not my intention, but I'll tell you, you know, we need people to speak out and save this party. And I will do whatever I can do to save the party and the country. And I have, of course, no intention of running for president in 24, but, you know, I'll never rule anything out.
Okay.
And by the way, real quick story. I remember it was either you or Chaps I had texted with on setting up one of these prior ones. And I think it was Chaps. And he goes, dude, make sure you run it by more. I don't want her mad at me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, understandably so. We call her Morrigator for a reason. So
that's right.
I understand that. I understand that. No, and just last thing. If, in fact, you do end up in the White House, all we ask is that we get to record one episode of ZBT in the Situation Room.
Yeah, dude, you guys are going to move in. I mean, I'll just have you guys in part of that.
I mean, sleepovers, we're bringing back Friday night sleepovers at the White House. We're doing it.
Yeah, of course. I'm in. Yeah, we'll do that.
Awesome. All right, well, Congressman, we appreciate your time, as always. I'll speak for myself and say that I have the utmost respect for what you're doing, the courage it takes to speak up and to buck the trend of what politicians have been doing for a very long time now, I think takes a lot of courage. And you are, as we harp on this show so much, leading from the front. And that is absent in a lot of politicians these days. So I really respect that.
Thanks, man. And I want to say too, you guys, I mean, every time I come on your show, I get so many people that just say they've heard it. You guys obviously have a huge audience, but what I think, you know, people love the most is not even just the humor, which is funny, but the fact that you guys do disagree and discuss issues in a humorous light, but also respectfully when you disagree. So keep that up too.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's okay to disagree. It's just, you know, no need to name call unless someone is ugly and then you can make fun of them like Chaps.
Yeah. Or they're Chaps. Then you can make.
Yes. Fun. Yeah. He just leaves himself open. And I'm saying all this because he's not with us right now. So of course I'm going to dump on him.
Hey, as we always say, it's like criticize in public, compliment in private.
That's it. Boom. All right. Congressman, thank you so much.
You bet. See you, dude. All right.
So, Representative Kingsley, he was great as always. And one of the things that you heard us talking about was when and if he becomes president, we'll obviously get to go to the White House, which is really great. So if we were to go to the White House for like a week, what would you guys want to do at the White House?
I would want to act like I was Jed Bartlett. So okay. I wouldn't really care about being there when Adam was there.
Right.
I would want to wait till he left and like had to go do something. That's when I would take my week. So I could just fuck around in the Oval Office and try to put my jacket on like Jed Bartlett. And every time somebody came in, I'd be like, if we're recording a podcast, I'd be like, okay, what's next?
I would go in the springtime when the White House lawn was at its best. And I would just have an afternoon to go. I would take off my shoes. I would drop my purse. I would dance on the lawn. I would cartwheel on the lawn. I would roll on the lawn. Yeah. I would do everything on the lawn. I would hang out. I would bring some cornhole out there, maybe a little Minnesota golf, crack some crispy boys, invite some friends over. We would goof on the lawn.
Take your son to the Easter egg hunt?
Take my son. I would ask Kinzinger.
Kelsey's gone to the Easter egg hunt at the White House.
I would dress son up. I would dress my son up as a minion and have Kinzinger put a candy bar on top of his head. I would do all kinds of different things. So.
Number one, yeah, I think going along with that, Kate, I would just take like a pitching wedge and one golf ball and just – hit a golf ball all around the White House grounds.
That would be a fucking
Oh, let's do that. Let's make a mini par three
course. In that spot where Trump went out there and had that weird wave when he was breathing heavy after he had COVID.
Yeah.
And he's like, if you put like a nice little launching pad out there, and that's what he should do. That's what Biden should do because he likes to golf. Yeah. And that he said that he would do that with Champ at his house in Delaware. Get those little balls, pitch them off, and have Champ run out there and get them and bring them back.
Yeah.
You want to talk about your approval rating going through the roof? That'll get it up.
That'll definitely
get it up.
Well,
speaking of approval ratings.
Wait, no, time out. Time out. I'm not done.
Katie, move us along.
Yeah. Katie loves to like move along like it matters. Like there's a time limit. Number two, I want to play hide and seek in the White House. Absolutely want to play hide and seek because there's probably so many nooks and crannies in that house.
Yeah, but you're probably going to find shit you don't want to.
Well, that's okay. That would be exciting. That's half the fun.
Yeah.
Number three, I want to have an ice cream party with some of our friends. We just have our friends over. We watch a movie and have an ice cream party. And then finally, I want to record an episode of ZBT from the Situation Room.
I don't think that's ever going to happen.
But it might. You don't know. You don't know that.
I do. That's not going to happen.
I like the idea, though. I like the idea.
It is a good idea. If you could... I think if we were allowed to bring significant others, it would be a great time to role play the Lincolns.
Wow.
While you're in the Lincoln bedroom.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, hello, Mary Todd. Come here and get some of this fucking top hat.
Into that. Yeah, no, I think that'd be fun.
Or what about if you're like sitting behind the Resolute desk and you're like, Monica, hello. What's that on your dress? Cocktail sauce, m'lady?
No.
All right, let's move on to round number four, which is brought to you by something else you can swallow at Trifecta Nutrition. Trifecta Nutrition is the best meal prep on earth. All of our meal plans are created by chefs and nutritionists to help people get into the best shape of their lives. It makes the meal prep not suck at all. If you're trying to eat healthy, one of the most difficult things is picking what to eat. This makes it so much easier. It's convenient. You could save time. One of the best parts is that you can cook it in essentially any way. You can put it in the microwave. You can put it in an air fryer. You can cook it on the stove. You can put it in the oven. All kinds of different options for you, no matter if you got time, if you don't have time, if you're in a hurry, if you're not. The meat is animal welfare level 5, which is the highest possible rank of how they treat their animals. Meal prep athletes that are elite use this all the time. It has has vegan, paleo, keto, and more. They have all kinds of options for you. All you need to do is go to trifectanutrition.com/zero for this exclusive offer, which is insane. You're going to get 40% off your meal prep. They're going to show up to your door. They're easy to unpack. You just throw them in your fridge, and whenever you go. This weekend, I had the one that it was fucking delicious, man. Like, it had rice in it, and it had roast beef, broccoli, carrots, and I put it together. And usually when you, like, microwave – and I microwaved it. Usually when you microwave broccoli, it turns into a big old pile of mush. Mm-hmm. Somehow it didn't. It didn't. It stayed good. The meat was perfect. It wasn't dry or anything like that.
Oh, yeah.
Go to trifectanutrition.com with the promo code zero for 40% off. Let's move into round number four. And I have some thoughts on this because I understand, like, the political process and how people always consistently look at things through the lens of the candidate they voted for, the party in which they align with. This one is so different to me because as soon as this happened, people started tweeting at me because they knew that I didn't vote for Trump. They're like, oh, now Biden's doing bombs. We didn't have this whenever Trump was in charge. I'm like, are you insane?
Right.
Like, President Trump dropped more drones than any president in U.S. history. Like, this idea that he didn't do anything at war is crazy time.
And President Obama before him as well. So it's
President Obama had more than
gets
Bush.
A peace. President Obama Bush. Gets a peace prize, and I'm like, did we not right. see like, all the guys, all the droning?
He fucking killed everybody at a goddamn wedding. Like,
yeah,
Obama shouldn't have got that.
Right,
Biden shouldn't get it either. But I hate the fact that Biden did this. Like, I think that it's bullshit that he did.
Well,
I'm
seeing a lot of different sides to this story, and I'm seeing you're right. A lot of people online and a lot of Democrats online being like, wait, what? Wait a minute, our guy is doing this? Like, people shocked that, hey, surprise.
It's like they forgot what Obama did.
But
we do it too.
But that people are surprised that Republican or Democrat, our foreign policy continues overseas and war continues overseas. And, like, people are somehow shocked by this. And it's like, no, that they have to do it too. Anyways, so the U.S. on Thursday conducted its first military action under Biden, targeting infrastructure used by Iranian-backed militant groups in Syria in response to recent rocket attacks in Iraq. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin told reporters traveling with him, absolute unit Lloyd Austin, by the way, told reporters traveling with him that he had recommended the strike to Mr. Biden, who authorized it on a phone call Thursday morning. The operation sends an unambiguous message. President Biden will act to protect American coalition personnel and Iran-backed militias. And the reason why they're saying this, Iran-backed militias have targeted U.S. forces in Iraq and Syria for years. Most recently, in a rocket attack in the northern Iraqi city of Erbil last week that wounded 4 American contractors and 1 military service member. So these strikes are kind of shaking our fists at them, being like, cut it the fuck out. Because it's basically Iran. It's like a proxy war kind of thing where they're poking us with a fucking stick. And how long are we going to let them poke us? It's the same with Russia and Syria and a lot of the border areas. The strikes destroyed multiple facilities at a border control point in Bukamal, Syria, used by a number of Iranian-backed militant groups. The Pentagon spokesman did not mention any casualties.
More like Nukemal.
Yeah, right? Am I right? People were killed in the strikes, in our strikes, I believe, if I'm getting this correct, which said it hit 3 trucks carrying munitions from Iraq into Syria. So,
yeah, from what I've seen, 11 were dead. And I think in that point where that doesn't say how many, there is... President Biden has got to reestablish the policy of civilian death reporting, because in 2018, that was taken away by the U.S. government. 2018 or 19, the U.S. government stopped reporting civilian deaths by drone strikes. If you're going to be who America thinks we are on the global stage, you cannot ignore civilian deaths. You can't.
Their deaths don't count any less, right?
Right.
They're humans just like everybody else. Even
I mean,
if
that happened here and people were like, oh, well, we targeted NAS Pensacola or we targeted fucking Camp Lejeune, and people would still be fucking outraged, obviously. Like, you can't just say, oh, it was a military strike, only 11 people died. That's a big fucking deal.
Well, in this particular case, just to clarify, there were no civilians killed.
No, there was. It wasn't reported by the AP because they didn't have to.
Well, here it's saying all those killed were believed to have been members of Iran-backed militias, the majority of them from Kataib Hezbollah. The death toll was likely to rise as some of the wounded were in serious condition. The group's sources said that immediately after the strikes, the Iranian-backed groups rushed to evacuate, fearing further U.S. attacks. Long story short, it's payback for Iran putting U.S. personnel in harm's way, but it stopped short of further escalating tensions with Tehran as he tries to draw the Islamic Republic back into the crumbling 2015 nuclear deal. An administration official confirmed that the Biden team selected the targets as part of a calibrated response meant to achieve three things. One, send a signal to Iran that the new U.S. president ain't no little bitch, okay? Quit poking us. Number two, avoid angering U.S. partners in Iraq who need to keep good relations with both Tehran and Washington. And two, three, avoid provoking Iran to retaliate further. I mean,
and
who knows?
I'll make another point. One, I will say that the new president is a little bitch because the report also came out that we're not going to do anything to do the crown prince of Saudi Arabia, even though he was in charge and issued the order to kill somebody that was living in the U.S. who has three U.S. citizen children, and they didn't do anything except for remove the visas from the people that were involved in it. That is a pussy move that's based on oil and strategic relationships around the globe. You can't look at what's happening in China and look at that ethnic cleansing while ignoring what's happening in Saudi Arabia and the things that they're doing on a global scale. That's disgusting. President Biden, I'm super disappointed in that action. He should have done something to MSB, whether it's sanctions. You obviously can't go in and kill the crown prince of Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't have that. But there's got to be something more than the new Secretary of State saying this is beyond the pale and we're moving their visas.
I mean,
the fuck out of
taking
here.
Taking away
the
visas, that's the equivalent.
The pale.
Hold on, I'm sorry. Taking away their visas, that's the equivalent of like taking away your kid's iPad for the night. That does nothing. It's
stupid.
It's being able to say you did something when in fact we
the
know
70
that does nothing.
People. That guy was fucking tortured on tape. Tortured. Like tortured to the point where he died. Like, it's disgusting what happened there. And it's like we turn the blind eye because they have a deep seaport that we can use.
In our defense.
Why? Because he couldn't run very fast.
In our defense, the administration did purchase a cameo from Cannes that they personally sent to the crown prince telling him to kick rocks. So
yes.
I do expect things to change soon.
MSB, for me, up there with Kim Jong-un as far as like leaders that gotta fucking get the hell out of here.
It's just crazy. Like, I mean, but like, there were a bunch of memes over the weekend I saw too about, you know, the bombings, and it's crazy that even once these people get into office, these new presidents, whether it's Biden, whether it's Trump, whether it's Obama, how they kind of fall in line and do a lot of the same things that maybe they didn't necessarily talk about, but it just comes with the territory. And then, like we're seeing now, people are shocked that Biden is authorizing these bombings.
Well,
like,
again, wait, try to picture telling SecDef Lloyd Austin no.
I mean, right?
He'll bend you into a pretzel and give you a noogie and pull your underwear up over your head.
You sure about that, Mr. President?
Yeah.
I mean, when Biden's been in the Senate since the 1970s, like, you got to know that it's going to be essentially status quo along there. And I also get tired of people saying Trump tried to leave Afghanistan. Dude, you're the commander in chief. If you want to leave Afghanistan, say get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Like, that's all you have to do, and they do it. You're out in 30 days right now. Go. 30 days starts now. Mm-hmm. Figure it out. Mm-hmm. They will.
Yeah.
They will.
Yeah. And you know what? And you'll deal with whatever those repercussions are. Mm-hmm. He didn't leave because he didn't ultimately want to. So, and same thing prior to that. And prior to that. So if we really...
Trying is nothing.
Right.
You're the... Issue the order.
You know,
like,
gang,
you're the guy in charge.
It almost makes you sick. But one
it
thing
does,
that...
And if you're feeling sick, you might want to get a little bit of vaccines. Because this is one of the first times that I've heard this. Whenever we first joined, we all joined like early, like mid-2000. Like, I joined in 2004. We have Kate, I think 2006, right?
2008. Yeah. Late.
2008. Cons was at West Point at 2004, right?
2002, I showed up.
Okay. So we, like, all around that same time, everybody was essentially getting the anthrax vaccine. Everybody was getting smallpox. The smallpox one freaking stinks.
Just last night, Pat was like, oh my God, you have like a rash or something popping up on your arm. And I'm like, no, for the 20th time.
No, it's a keloid.
That's my giant smallpox scar. But I tell people,
That was so hard to not pop that.
Oh,
thing.
Yeah.
For me, when I had
not
that little thing
it.
Boiled over, not touch it, not pop it. Because it was just, it's just this big, it looks like a giant pimple and it's just ripe for popping and you're not allowed.
Oh, yeah.
Also, my younger kid is not known for their ability to withhold their emotions or like their ability to act disciplined at all. McCartney got ate the fuck up by some fire ants
and had
a ton of like fire ant bumps. Hasn't scratched once. Wow. Looks at it. When I was a kid, that was the only good part about getting ant bites was that you could pop them because like the little water whatever comes out.
Yeah.
Not happening. Like, hasn't scratched it at all. But Americans who got into the military understand there is a loss of personal liberty. Many of their daily activities are prescribed, as are their hairstyles, attire, and personal conduct. So much stuff that applies with freedom of expression and speech no longer applies when you're a defender of the Constitution, which is crazy,
yeah,
right?
Free
you're
will,
a defender
goodbye,
of it,
goodbye,
so much
will.
Of it doesn't apply to you.
Right, yeah.
So when it comes to taking the coronavirus vaccine, many troops, especially the younger enlisted personnel, as opposed to their officers, see a rare opportunity to exercise free will. The Army tells me what, how, and to do most everything, said Sergeant Tracy Carroll, who is based at Fort Sill. Shout out Fort Sill National Bank, you pieces of shit.
Oh, yeah.
An Army post in Oklahoma. They finally asked me to do something. I actually have a choice, so I say no. Sergeant.
You think she said no just out of spite? Like,
just
no.
She actually wanted the vaccine, but she just really wanted to say no, too. Yeah.
You're really showing them. Yeah. You are really showing them by now. Go get the vaccine, man. Like, just go get it. But the reluctance among younger troops is a warning to civilian health officials about the potential hole in the broad scale immunity that needs professionals to say that Americans need to reclaim their collective lives. Everybody wants to wear a mask or stop wearing masks. So get the vaccine so we have a little bit of herd immunity. The article goes on to say, at the end of the day, our military is a society, said Dr. Michael Weiner, the former chief medical officer for the Department of Defense, who now serves in the same role for Maximus.
Paging Dr. Weiner. Paging Dr. Weiner.
Paging Dr. Weiner. You're needed deep inside my butthole, Dr. Weiner. No, with a Q-tip. They have the same social media, the same families, the same issue that societies at large have. Roughly one-third of troops on active duty or in the National Guard have declined to take the vaccine, military officials recently told Congress. In some places like Fort Bragg, North Carolina, the nation's largest military installation, acceptance rates are below 50%.
That's wild to me.
If this
scary.
Continues, they're going to say it's not an option.
To me, this is such a thing of disinformation and misinformation and fear. That is terrifying that is what is getting through over just common sense is a scary thing. And that's in our military, dude. What the fuck?
Well, I think one of the big reasons why, even though there has been 500,000 deaths, is that really this generation hasn't seen something that you can't see coronavirus, right? Like coronavirus isn't something that you can see even the effects of. You see people breathing hard. You see them in there with like the oxygen in their nose. It's very different from what you saw when polio was huge, whenever you saw measles or smallpox. You see that virus going on, and you're like, fuck, I don't want that.
I think it has nothing to do with how people envision the virus. You know what it all has to do with? Because the refusal rates are far higher among younger members, as is with their spouses. It's the goddamn lower enlisted military spouse Facebook group network system sharing the crazy stories of my friend got it and they grew a fourth eyeball on their tit. That kind of stuff. I promise you, I bet you money.
A titty eyeball would be sick.
I bet you money it is Facebook. Lower enlisted military Facebook groups are what are single-handedly dive bombing this fucking thing. So
yeah, I don't know. I just look at this like, hey, you know, I didn't go to medical school. I'm not a scientist. And these people that are coming up with this stuff are wildly smarter than me. So I guess it is somewhat of a leap of faith, a small or big, depending on how you look at it. But I'm willing to take that leap of faith because these people have, I'd like to think, my best interest, and they don't want to give me a vaccine that's ultimately going to kill me or harm me in any way. And this isn't the first time that we as a world even have had vaccines. Like you little baby, like Kate, you're gonna have your baby and the baby's gonna get a bunch of shots over the first
right,
few
and
years.
If they offered,
what do you think those
if they offered,
are?
Kate actually said she was gonna be an anti-vaxxer, which I find
absolutely but only for the social aspect of it. I just feel like they're a wild fun little group. But that's it says in the article, it says that Facebook and social media, including the false rumor that the vaccine contains a microchip devised to monitor recipients,
fucking idiots,
will permanently
man.
Disable the body's immune system, or that it is some form of government control, or that I saw people being like, because people were like, you're pregnant, you would get the vaccine. Yes, it does not. I think there's this common misconception that somehow vaccines alter your DNA. It has nothing to do with your DNA, with your kid's DNA, with not, it doesn't affect that in any way.
But you're listening to Kathy, the crunchy mom from Oregon on Facebook, and she, and that's what she says. So it just spreads like wildfire. It's exactly like the Starbucks thing, where one time some dude wrote a misinformed letter about Starbucks, and now everybody assumes that Starbucks hates the military, when that's not the case at all. They do a shit ton of stuff for the military. And for me, I'm a huge proponent of like socialized medicine, where the national government takes control of medicine and that everybody has health care. Generally, that is how I feel about medicine in this country. However, in a situation like this, I am glad that Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson and Moderna are the ones that are doing it, because those are huge companies. If everyone in the United States somehow gets really sick from these vaccines, do you think Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, or Moderna wants those class action lawsuits of how much money that they would be bankrupt? Those people on the board don't want that shit. They are going to make absolutely certain that doesn't happen.
Yeah, and I just think the biggest thing, because like, as somebody who like, okay, what if the option pops up for me to get it? I do want to make sure I know that I'm informed. So all I did was some simple Googling. I learned a little bit about vaccines and my fear was gone. It was like, okay, this is fine.
Yeah, I think that's the benefit for me for having a wife with a doctoral degree in public health. When she's just like, go get it, I'm like, okay.
Well, so I just think the military, there needs to be some kind of like basic information campaign that just dispels these rumors and is like, hey, here's some real science real quick, people.
Well, that's what's crazy too. You like ask these whackers, like, oh no, it's going to do all these other things. Like, okay, if that's what you believe, prove it to me. Show me where, aside from this Facebook meme, explain to me the science of it on how it's going to do all these things.
Well, you know what we need to do is start positive Facebook campaigns that are also lies, but good ones. Like, heard the vaccine makes your penis grow four sizes, and the second dose you get a
uncomfortable.
You get a Mustang in your driveway. It just appears there after the second dose. Like, so we need to come up with false positive stuff.
I don't want fucking a belt hanging off my waist.
Yeah,
no, you know what, Kate, you joke. If you put something that was relatively believable and you started that campaign, I would bet dollars to donuts that would also start.
PFT scores of troops who get the vaccine have been proven to go up 10%. Yep. So fucking weird. But
what about if you did, like, your dick's not going to grow four sizes, but all of a sudden you're going to develop like a mushroom head, just like Owen Gray has.
Exactly. Or it's weird. You get the vaccine, your girl's vagina shrinks. It's pretty sick.
Oh, I think people want big vulvas nowadays. Mm. People are really into the fat cooches, I think. Also, one of my favorite things, like, that people talk about in regards to coronavirus is, like, what happened to the regular flu? Last year, there was 30,000 people that died of the regular flu. Now it's gone. Because people are wearing masks. Like, that's the reason why. Like, there's a lot of people wearing masks. That's the reason why flu numbers are drastically down. Because people are social distancing.
It's crazy how it all works.
Yeah, it's crazy that actually proves the fact that it is working and that coronavirus is worse than the flu. That's how you can know. So that was science. We actually went reverse of what we've been doing here on ZBT, where we have shit on science and Mars. And I want to say something, Kate.
What?
I think it was on, I forget what website it was on, but it was one of, like, Popular Science or one of those websites. They had this article that was talking about Mars. Do you want to know what the headline is?
No.
Stop talking about living on Mars. It's an absolute hellscape.
Yep. Mars stinks.
Mm-hmm.
Mars stinks.
Someday my son will have a condo.
Where's fucking Khan's going to go skiing at, snowboarding, whenever he's on Mars?
That's exactly. How am I going to play golf on Mars?
Mm-hmm. You show, where's the Masters going to be?
Seriously.
There's no Augusta on Mars.
Where are we holding the Super Bowl? On Mars.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Where's March? Hey, it's March. Where's March Madness? On Mars.
Yep. You couldn't have walked around that mall in Mars.
Nope. Mars.
Can't go get a fancy donut in Astoria.
Yeah.
What happens if you're driving on Mars and all of a sudden you have that weird eye shit where you have to pull into the VA and get somebody else to park your car? Can't do that on Mars.
I just don't understand why you guys hate it so much.
Because it offers us nothing. That's why.
You know why I hate it? Because I read that book, Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus. I prefer we go after Venus.
Boys go to Jupiter.
I would love to live on a
Jupiter.
Planet that rhymes with penis. Let's move on to save rounds and alibis. Kyle, we'll start with you.
Yikes. First one, Mars can be important because it can be a launching point. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, see, right? This is the same Mars argument, but Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
You're using Mars as a strategic
partner.
There could
be gold in them there, hills. Gold? You don't know.
Gold is worthless unless you're using it in electricity or industrial.
There could be maple syrup.
That would be nice. Now, if you show me that they have better maple syrup than Vermont does on Mars, I'm back in.
Okay.
All right. We'll get to work. Elon Musk.
For right now, I'm still out.
Elon Musk, I know you listen. Go find some maple syrup, you fucking nerd.
Yeah,
you fucking geek.
So I don't really have much of a save round. I did. I do the ZB history stuff every day. And,
those have been fantastic.
You did a great job this month, too. Yep. Yeah, it was awesome.
Oh, thank you. And the one I did today was the first guy, or I guess yesterday now, as you listen, was the first guy to jump from an airplane with a parachute. Never fails. Someone on that fucking, on Instagram always thinks they're going to get me. And he's like, well, actually, the first guy that jumped with a parachute was a French guy from a balloon. And I'm like, well, actually, I said a fucking airplane. I didn't say that.
Boom.
Thank you, Kyle.
Can you read?
I spend way too much time on these posts, and I try really hard to get everything right and find accurate pictures, but
yeah,
it's sometimes hard. So it feels good when someone says, actually, and then I'm like, you're actually, you need to read it again.
When you can actually and actually, oh, brilliant.
Oh, it's,
well, great job with that, Kyle.
That's better than most feelings, I would assume. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's it. Don't come at me on social media, you fucks.
Yeah, he'll win.
Yeah, Kyle doesn't give a shit.
I really don't.
Kyle is the curmudgeon staff NCO that works in like the S3 that nobody wants to go into his office. And like you missed the PFT because you had your wisdom teeth pulled in and you got to go see Kyle. And you're like, fuck, man, he's going to be such a dick for no reason.
I like to think
me
when
and Kyle
I was a
very
staff
different
NCO.
Styles of staff NCOs. Yeah. I was going to go out of my way to be a dick. You didn't want to seek out Kyle.
I like to think I think I was meaner as a sergeant than I was as a staff sergeant, because as a sergeant, you have all the power and none of the responsibility.
Like, oh, yeah.
That's the first time. You only really have to keep two people happy, and that's your RO and your RS. If you're not
I think corporal might be even better, because corporal don't know still works. Sergeant don't know doesn't really make a whole lot of sense.
Right,
but... You know, once you figure out you only have to keep two people happy and everyone else can fuck right off, that's pretty nice. That's a nice feeling.
Did you guys have that phrase, Connor, where you would say, like, specialists don't know, PFC don't know? Like,
I hate to answer some of these things sometimes, because it very well might have been a thing and I just never
just
heard
not on the officer side.
Yeah.
Yeah, because well, we would always, and it started out like, recruit don't know, this recruit don't know.
Yeah.
The Army, they don't really have responsibility until they're E8s. For the most part, from what I understand.
That's true. That's true. All right, Kate, what do you got?
I got nothing. No. Q-tip.
All right. Oh, did you want to inform the people about what happens when you get close to having the baby?
That you start to poop again. You start to poop again. You get real nauseous and you're pooping all the time because your body's clearing it out so you don't soil the table, I guess, or something. I don't know, but... So I've been pooping again.
Also, one of the side effects that I didn't tell you guys last week when I got the vaccine, I had a thick, hard dumper for the first time Ooh. In years.
You texted me about it, and I was so thrilled for you. I was like, we had like a full-on 10-minute conversation about how great it
is. I know.
Is.
I got up, looked in the toilet. I was like, what the heck?
What the heck? What the heck is this?
Chap's going to get a vaccine every week now.
What's that supposed to look like?
Yeah.
What the shit? Huh? They're like, it's a 2-shot series. I'm like, how about we do it? Can you do it once a week?
So
that's all I'm asking.
Earmuffs to,
once a week vaccine for coronavirus.
Earmuffs to Pat, who's also in the room with me, but I have been taking dumpers again, and it's a treat.
I'm sure he knows.
It's glorious.
Your apartment's bigger now that you're in East Rutherford, but it's not that big. I'm sure he figured it out.
The vaccine is like Viagra.
What about you? What do you got?
The vaccine's like Viagra? Yeah. Wait a minute.
Well... So Viagra was started as like a heart medicine. It was supposed to cure a heart problem.
True.
And then they're like, hey, give me a big old raging boner. And they're like, hey, let's make money selling dick pills instead of heart pills.
Yeah, because then it's heart. Like, it's just, it helps blood flow. They didn't realize it was going to help blood flow everywhere.
Nobody wants a boner all the time, though. Do you know Feidelberg? We've been talking about it on Barstool Confessions, which is my new Bible podcast, as you can listen to subscribe on Spotify, iTunes, and go on YouTube as well. He told me that he still gets, like, no apparent reason boners.
Narps.
He's in his 30s and gets narps just, like, walking around the street.
My guy had his first, like, wet dream the other week. He was like, what?
Whoa, and nocturnal admission.
Yes,
that's what we call
I know
that
that's weird to say out loud, but he tweeted it, so I don't feel bad saying it. But I was like,
is he there? Get him on camera.
Pat,
let's hear about
Pat,
it.
Come here. Do you mind
tell us
about
your wet dream.
Nocturnal emission.
Do I mind?
Does he mind? Come on
All
over
right.
here.
Here's for his first appearance on Zero Block 30. Here's Pat.
Hey, team.
Pat, tell us a little bit.
Oh, hold on.
Oh, he can't hear.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your nocturnal admission that you had.
Well, I'm pretty proud of it because it means I'm becoming a man, finally. Mm-hmm. It took 35 mm-hmm. years, but...
That was your first one?
Yeah, I've been chasing it Whoa. For a long time.
Wow.
Well, you know, like, you... They tell you it's going to happen, and you wait for it, and then it never happens, and you figure maybe it never will. But there's something really amazing.
Like self-anal. Kind
yeah, of. Exactly. But something amazing about being a grown man and checking your pants and just really being surprised, pleasantly surprised. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a delight. I don't know what else to say.
Well, congratulations.
There's
signing
your
off, man.
Chilling in your boxing shorts. Appreciate that, Pat.
You got the laundry this week, right, Ben?
Yeah, totally. Hilarious. Well, all I had to question was, who's in his dreams?
Yeah.
Who was it? Who done it?
Mm.
I bet you money.
Maybe he wasn't even thinking about somebody. Maybe he was thinking about a nice, cool breeze with a robin floating by.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway.
All right. Cons, what do you got?
Well, a few things. Continuing with our new series of politicians, actually dumb, Cuomo, just a complete dirtbag.
Get him out of here.
Not a good person at all. He's bumbling everything. People are coming out against him saying he's not a good person. So he's
I knew
bag.
From the minute I saw his teeth.
Yeah.
There's something about his teeth. I said, that's no good.
And he's like always tan. I don't trust people who are always
tan. I don't
tan.
Trust that. Exactly.
You can't trust somebody who has a tan in January.
No.
At all.
But I think, isn't that because he's Italian?
No, it's more than that.
No.
Like if you eat so much spaghetti, like it makes you more tan, like it affects your melanin.
It's because they cover themselves in marinara. They smother their
bodies.
Oh,
it's not racist to say Italians eat spaghetti? Like that. It's
this
fact.
Is just clearly a man who spends a lot of time grooming himself. A little excessively, and I'm always weirded out by that.
And then he puts out yesterday, I think it was, the apologies like, hey, yeah, sorry if you felt that way. Not actually sorry for what I did. It's just like, sorry if you felt that way.
Yeah.
JK.
Dirtbag. So, quick question. What is President Biden waiting for with the Medal of Honor for Alwyn Cash?
No idea.
That'd be a real quick win for him.
Also,
hey,
how about
thing.
We just say this? What the fuck was President Obama, President Trump, and now President Biden waiting for the Medal of Honor for Alwyn Cash?
Well, and President Bush, because that was 2005 when the action occurred, right?
Oh, yeah. Those two.
Goddamn.
Yeah, our award system is weird, to say the least. Actually, I just watched the movie called The Last Full Measure about someone from Vietnam who only got the Medal of Honor upgraded relatively recently. That was a good movie. And then lastly... I was listening to a podcast and Tulsi Gabbard was the guest. And interestingly enough, she said she would be willing to go on a bipartisan ticket. And she mentioned the phrase country first. So
that's not going to happen because Congressman Kinzinger hates her. So,
well, you never know. People might change. We can all change.
She was kind of cozy with old Bashar al-Assad, which people thought was... problematic. Yeah. And also
I just thought that was interesting.
That was probably our weirdest interview that we had. That was a bizarre time. If you haven't listened to that, go back and check out the Tulsi Gabbard interview that we did. I think that it was surprising to me, one, because I liked her answers. The answers that she gave, I thought it was a great interview. But then afterwards her staff was like super nervous about it. They wanted us to not publish it. And I was like, fuck that. We're gonna publish it. Like that's going to happen. It was very, very bizarre situation. Go back and listen to it. I like some of her stances on some things. I don't like some of the other ones. Like, I don't think whenever you're a junior representative, you should be going to a foreign country that you're currently in conflict with. That's probably not the best idea. But
yeah,
that's neither here nor there. Is that it, Cons?
That's it. That's all I got.
All right, cool. I have a recommendation for a show.
Oh, please.
Have you guys seen The Sinner?
No.
It's on my queue.
Netflix.
I've got it on my list.
It's very, very good.
Noted.
It's a rare show where I'm like, dang, I'm usually about episode 5 or 6, I start getting bored with most shows. I'm like, I'm kind of out on that. I don't want to listen to that. I don't want to watch that. This one, I'm sticking with it. It's been very, very good. Have enjoyed it a lot. So make sure you check that one out. And if you just want a lighthearted show, Ted Lasso is the best show I've seen in
years. Oh, my gosh. Watching that show, you just smile. He makes you smile. You wish you played for Ted Lasso.
And if you want to keep your mom and dad in line, you better watch I Care a Lot with them. I made my mom watch I Care a Lot with me this weekend, and I said, watch out. Next knock at the door.
So, I haven't seen
your
that
old
one.
Ass is getting stolen.
Gosh. Well, number one, Rosamund Pike, who is the lead in that show, she won the Golden Globe last night for Best Actress, so that should tell you something about her for her performance. But the other thing that I made note of, there's definitely some truth, Kate, you've seen it. There's definitely some truth to people like that and how they get in charge of other people's lives.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot of, if you're following the Free Britney movement, it's like that, but it's olds getting taken by the court system and held captive, kind of. So watch out. If you want to scare your olds, then keep them in line. Highly recommend I Care a Lot on Netflix. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And one last thing, over the last couple of weeks and really the past couple months, there's been a lot more reporting going on about the sexual assault situation that's going on in the military. I was also watching another show that was on Apple TV, and it stars Jennifer Aniston and Steve Carell, and it's called The Morning Show. And there is one scene in particular where there's one woman who was sexually assaulted. It's kind of like Steve Carell is kind of playing the role of Matt Lauer in this show. And there's a scene where she is talking to Reese Witherspoon's character, and she explains what it's like to be sexually assaulted in the workplace. It is one of the most powerful scenes that I've ever watched. And it really like took me back, where after she was done giving her soliloquy, I had to pause it and be like,
whoa,
holy fucking shit. I haven't even thought about all the repercussions. And as a white male cisgendered dude, I haven't ever been put in that situation where I would have to think about all those repercussions about what could happen. I'm going to find that scene, find it, so you guys can just hear that snippet right now, because I think it's really powerful. That's how we'll close out the show. It's on the retreat.